Let's hold our hands together. Say this words after now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive revelation knowledge that is found in the written word. Our eyes view Jesus today, even as he sees us himself. He is glorified in our midst, and we are edified alongside the body of Christ. Amen. Glory to God. So we're looking at a teaching, the man, the message, and the mandate. Hallelujah. Is for me is an old study. Then the one we used to call it the man, the message, the man too. It's an old teaching.
Don't bring it back. Hallelujah.
Is that? We used to call it the man, the message, the mantle. The mantle. And the mantle is usually the anointing oil. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So just have to take it again. The man, the message, and the mandate. So for our focus is going to be very, very, our focus will be on our participation with God in his tax. Hallelujah. We're going to focus on that a bit. All true. Hallelujah. So let's look at a few things we have this afternoon. Matthew 28 from verses 18. Matthew 28 from verses 18. Amen. Those of you who are in Wima will take a detour on this teaching. Amen. You want to take a detour from what I talked to you about? A bit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Matthew 28, verse 18. It says that Jesus came and told them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. Says, go therefore and make and teach all nations." That is what to make disciples. Amen. Make disciples of every nation. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Even to the ends of the age. Amen. In Mark 16, let's see a bit. Get to Mark 16. So we say, as we've already said, that this will be Jesus' instruction, right? Within the 40 days, right? And we said, before the instruction, there was a teaching. So Jesus taught them. Hallelujah. He taught them and appointed for them a place where he gave them instruction. But he taught them. Hallelujah. He taught them 40 days. Acts of Apostles chapter 1, from verse 3. Hallelujah. He taught them 40 days. Hallelujah. So Matthew will now summarize the instruction as to make disciples. So he summarized the instruction as making disciples. Mark will look at the instruction. Mark will give instructions or will get. What am I looking for words?
Mark, Mark will focus on the. If you look at what Mark will say in Mark 16, from verse 15. His focus is not different from Matthew's focus. It's the same. There are no differences. Hallelujah. Amen. There are no differences. Mark said, preach the gospel. Matthew said, make disciples. Matthew also said, preach the gospel. But you didn't see it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So Mark will say, go here. Mark 16 from verse 15. That he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Say, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. You see that? And this sign shall follow them that believe. Then they will cast out, the same idea, they will cast out devils. Amen. Say, they will speak with new tongues. They will take up deadly things.
He says, they will take up serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then, after the Lord has spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God, received unto the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. So, what is Mark saying? Mark's focus is on the entry into discipleship. Amen. It is preaching the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. When Matthew says make disciples, the word disciple there is how you enroll a child into a citadel of learning. Did you see that? How you enroll a child in Matthew 2. How you enroll a child into a citadel of learning. Mark will say that will take place first. I mean, that will take place in the preaching of the gospel. Amen. In the preaching of the gospel. So he says, go make disciples. Mark will say, preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So the word to be saved there means that is the starting point of discipleship. So Mark's focus is on that entrance into discipleship. Amen. Mark's focus is where? On the entrance into discipleship. Amen. So how does a man become a disciple? When he believes the gospel. You know that? When the gospel is preached and he believes, he's a disciple. Okay, I'm going to read it. So then what is discipleship? Discipleship is, now the word matitude in Matthew chapter 28 is from another word, matitis. Matitis is used for an apprentice, it's called a disciple. It's used for an apprentice, how someone goes to learn a trade. Amen. So that means what God wants us to be, or God's plan for us, is to be his disciple. Okay, I'm going to read it. An apprentice. A learner. A learner, one who learns. Okay, follow me. And what is the entrance into it? Believing the gospel. When a man believes the gospel, he's a disciple. So disciple is not a class in church. Disciple is what the church is. Okay, okay. They say, I'm not in discipleship class. After 4 weeks, I'm not graduating into main church, into big church. So why are you that? I just got born again because I'm already big enough. I can't attend Sunday school. So I just go into the discipleship class. After 5 weeks, I'm now in the main church. Not in the main church. Amen. So where were you before? You are now, you were formerly quarter church. So stop saying that. Amen. Stop saying that. However, when a man is born again, so discipleship is the totality of the Christian life. But let's see how Luke will put it. Luke 24.
Luke will now do something very, very wonderful. Luke will call, you know, Mark says, Luke 24. Mark says, preaching the gospel, right? Look at what Luke will call the gospel. Mark, Luke 24, from verse 47. Let's start with verse 45. And they opened he their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Did you see that? Verse 45, that they might comprehend the scriptures. And Thursday said to them, and he said to them, Thursday it is written, and Thursday beholds Christ to suffer and to rise up in the third day. Did you see that?
Look at verse 47, let's read it together. 1, 2, go. Come on, let me hear it together. 1, 2, go. And that repentance.
Look at what it says. Remember, Mark says, preach the gospel, right? Look at what Luke says. He says, and that repentance and remission of sins be preached. You see that?
Look at what Luke has done. Luke calls the gospel that Mark says should be preached. He called it called the gospel of repentance and remission of sins. What's that? He calls it repentance. That word repentance here is the word in the Greek metanoia. Metanoia. M-E-T-A-N-O-I-A. Metanoia. Amen.
Amen. Now that word means, the word metanoia is from another word, metanoio. The word metanoia is from another word, metanoio. M-E-T-A-N-O-E-O. The word metanoio. Now metanoio is used for how you change. Now it's from two words, meta and noio. Meta is used for how you turn around. Hallelujah. How you change.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me have someone stand up first. Come. Hallelujah.
Now,
Now, it's standing. No, no, look at me. So when you hear meta, it means to go turn around. Did you see that? That's what it means. Okay, hold on.
To change, to turn around, to change from one point to another. From here, it's turning around. That's meta. Did you see that? Now, when you use the word know you, it's used for understanding. It's used for the mind. Did you see that? Amen. If you get back to verses 25, it says, verses 45. It says that open media understanding. That word no heal. Open media understanding. This is that they might comprehend the scriptures. Okay, follow that. Open media understanding. That's what understanding. So when Luke says that repentance there, it means to change your mind. Amen. Let's see Peter. The word you read on what meta to you from Peter, Acts of Apostles chapter 3, verse 19. Peter says similar thing to what Luke had just said here, or what Jesus said in Luke 24. Look at Peter in Acts of Apostles chapter 3. Are you there? Acts of Apostles chapter 3, verse 19. Look at what it says there. It says, I'll start from verse 18. It says, but those things which God before had shown by the mouth of his prophet that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Do you see that? He now says to the people, this is Peter now, he now says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Now that word may there is actually that your sins be blotted out. Hallelujah. When the times of refreshing, you see that, shall come from the presence of the Lord. We explained this during CMC, right? Refreshing. Did you see that during CMC? From the prosperity. And we say refreshing there is a revival, our experience in his experience, right? Was that what we said? Was that what we said? Now, look at what he said. He says, repent therefore. That word better here. Change your mind. He's telling the people to change their minds. Concerning what? Is that? He said, turn around in your mind. That is what being born again is. Being born again is what to turn around in your mind. To find how? How? He said, is it my mind? No. Listen. He said, turn around to see. See what? Christ has fulfilled, or he means that. Let me read what I have in my notes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it means to turn around in your mind to see that, to see Christ's resurrection as the fulfillment of scriptures. Hallelujah. So turn around in your mind to see it. Now what the prophet has spoken, he has fulfilled. He has thus fulfilled it. Did you see that? So turn around in your mind. In your understanding of scriptures. We're going to get to see something in that today. Hallelujah. Turn around in your mind. Now he says, now look at what he explains that recorded around in your mind means. He says, and be converted. Did you see that? And be converted. That your sins be blotted out. He's explaining that word repent. Did you see that? Turn around to see that your sins have been blotted out by the resurrection of Christ. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Amen. He said, turn around in your mind to see that resurrection has brought about for us the blotting away of sin. Now when we use that word, that your sins been blotted out, the word blotted out there is the word in the Greek, exalifo. Exalifo. Exalifo means how is some two words. You know how you smell something on someone's body? How you smell something on someone's body? Now it's used for how you smell out, to take something out. Amen. Like you're taking it out in all of it. In all of it, how's that put it? In all of its substance. You are taking something out of someone's system. Amen. How you smash something out, to take it out completely. That word, to blow out, to take it out of the way. Hallelujah. So what Peter is saying to them is, turn around in your mind to see what Christ has done by the resurrection, that your sins don't ever stand in your way.
that sin is no longer the problem. That sins have been blotted out. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. What are you following? How did Jesus put it? You will see that it's as if Peter is taking this word from Jesus. And practically, yes, that's what he's going to do. Because Jesus is his master. He's going to take this word from Jesus. Put that side by side with what Jesus said in Luke chapter 24. He says that repentance and remission. The word remission is the word aphesis. Aphesis is the word remission. Remission, the aphesis means to take away. Hallelujah. That is to say, there is no remembrance of it. Hallelujah. Amen. Aphesis means you've taken it away. To take it out.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's exactly what Jesus said. And that's what Luke is repeating. Luke will call it exalifo.
To take it out. Hallelujah. Amen. So you're sober. So that is what being born again is. You are saved to see that it is God. Hallelujah. Okay, follow you. You are born again to see that it's God. So it tells them, change your mind to see what Jesus has done to save. Hallelujah. He says that the times of refreshing may come from the throne of the Lord. Isn't that? So you turn around to see what has happened. Hallelujah. And it's a new beginning in the presence of the Lord. Hope you're following me.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So let's get back to Matthew 28.
Hope you follow what I'm teaching you.
Okay, Matthew 28. So we're looking at a couple of things. Matthew 28, right? So he says, he tells them in verses 19, go and make disciples, right? How will you make disciples? He says, teaching them. That's the word. He says, teaching them. Now that word teaching them is the word didasco. Didasco. Didasco is an active word. It's the act of teaching.
It's the act of teaching. Didasco is an active word. It's the act of teaching.
So when Jesus says teaching them, who was called a teacher before now? Jesus is a teacher, right? Right? Jesus is called good teacher. He's a teacher. He's called rabbi. So that means when he says teaching them, they're going to copy him. Did you see that? They're going to copy how he taught. So let's see a few things about Jesus. Jesus is called a teacher. Yet he was first a student.
Jesus is called a teacher, but he didn't just become a teacher just tonight. He was first a student. He said, how do you become a student? He was a student.
Hallelujah. Isn't Jesus student? I thought he's God, I just showed up. Boom. He's God.
Just is God, but yet he was a student. Why was he a student? We're going to see that shortly. Hallelujah. Amen. God is not going to break his principle because he's God that has come. He has set it in motion.
Hallelujah.
He won't be following him. He has set it in motion. So he's going to follow it. He was taught.
Luke chapter 3, quickly. Luke 2. I want to take us through a couple of readings this afternoon. Luke 2. Are you there? Okay. Luke 2 verses 43. And when the days that when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child tarried behind in Jerusalem, that's Jesus, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. So they've gone 1 day's journey. Did you see that? Count it. How many days? 1 day's journey, right? Right? And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they turned back again to Jerusalem. How many days now? They've got 1 day journey. So they went back 2 days. Right? Hallelujah. Amen.
And when they found him not, they turned back, okay, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, you know that? After 3 days, they found him in the temple. Do you see that? Amen? How many days all together? 5. So they found him where? In the temple. What was he doing? Sitting in the midst of the doctors. Both doing what? Hearing and asking them questions. Watch that. He was here. He was not asking them questions because he was God. He said, no. He was learning. He was hearing them and asking them questions. Hallelujah. Now when he used the word, we're going to explore some of those words as we go ahead in these teachings. Now, they used the word they are hearing. That word hearing is the word akuno. A-K-U-N-O. Akuno. Now that word is used for how you pay keen attention to something. You pay keen attention. So Jesus was not just listening with a mindset. Not some people can listen to you so they can argue. They are debaters. They are listening to get your key point. He was listening and asking them questions. The questions he was asking were questions so that he would learn. Do you see that? He was listening. Hope you're following me. He was doing what? Listening. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me here. He paid keen attention. So that is the attitude of a student. The attitude of hearing God's word, not arguing. Some people, their life is full of arguments. Arguments. They are not hearing to hear, to learn. They are hearing to go and argue. Pastor taught us you now go and get people and then I show them. You now add this one to that. Amen. Just small Greek, you have been only small. Because it's thinking. Small thing, you just left. You are jumping. The Greek word. No, don't do that. Hallelujah. Over here, we don't do that. That is ignorance gone on rampage. You don't listen to argue. You listen to learn. Over here, we're going to get somewhere now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look at something again. So Jesus sat. God. You know Jesus is God. Jesus sat. God sat down. And allowed himself to be taught by doctors of the law, Pharisees and Sadducees. Jesus allowed men to teach him. Look at chapter 4, verse 16. Chapter 4, verse 16, quickly. Are you there? Let's read together. One, two, go. As is what? So Jesus had a custom of doing what? Going into the synagogue on Sabbath day. So what did they go to do in the synagogue on Sabbath day? The synagogue was where they go to be taught. So Jesus had the custom. That's what you need to do. So Jesus was not sitting at home saying, my mother, Mary, my father, Joseph, my brothers, Joseph, you should go to church. And the word became flesh. I know it all. Some people are like that. Just small things in the name. You don't want to go to church again. You say no. Just small things. You say that the temple of the Lord. You say no. I don't go to it. God is not in the building. Did you see how not being consistent and affected you? You heard one part of a message, a series, the local church, and you heard the church is not in the building. You didn't wait to the end. Now head, we are his temple. You didn't wait to the end though. Okay, no, local church. You just listen to identifying the church. The church is not the building. You say, Pastor said it. That we are his temple. You didn't wait to the end. You didn't listen to the local church. No, believers' corner.
before the local church and me. Listen to all that. Say, he just started.
I am his temple. I am the church of God.
You one. Church of God. Pastor. You are synagogue, church of God. Only you. Only you synagogue. Say me. He said, you don't look for the synagogue. I am the synagogue. We should kill them for you. Now I don't need to go to church. I just sit down because I'm the temple of God. I get inspiration from the Holy Ghost direct. That your antenna is not so in Alaba at all. See, I just get it direct. You have live feeds. You know, some people have live feeds straight from the Holy Ghost. I don't need any church. Those of you who are my friends on Facebook, you saw what I wrote earlier on, right? Right? I wrote something that I said, taking a believer out of the local church, taking a believer out of the local church is like taking a branch of a tree out of the vine. The branch of a tree cannot survive. So can a believer not survive outside the local church? Not possible. Not possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a writer. He said, no, I'm the church. You no longer go to church again. He said, no. I just, you know, I can read the word. I know the word. So I don't need church. Don't worry. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus, who is God, went to synagogue. Please take that baby out, please. Amen. Amen. So, Jesus, who is God, God Himself, went to the synagogue. And in the synagogue, what did they do? They were taught by the Pharisees. Did you see that? They were taught by the Pharisees. So Jesus wrote, as his custom. His custom means that is what he does. So, for example, there's no Sunday he doesn't go to church. There's no Wednesday or Thursday he doesn't go to church. He had that as a custom. So going to the local church, going to church should be your custom. Come here. Being in your local church, you should get accustomed to it. That's what Jesus said. So he has laid for us that example. It has been laid for us. As his custom was. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So Jesus will go in to be taught. You know, Paul will pick that. In 2 Timothy 2, look at what Paul said. 2 Timothy 2. He's writing to a pastor. That's it. He said to a pastor, 2 Timothy 2, let's all get there. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. Okay, let's read together. One, two, go. He said, the things which you've learned from me, he said, the same. He talked about that. He said, the same commits to faithfulness. So, what did he say? He said, the pastor, he said, the things you have learned from me, the things you have been taught. You see that? Amen. So that is what you will teach other. That is to say, you are not a good teacher until you are a good student. Okay, hallelujah. You are not a good teacher until you are a good student. A good student. How do you know a good student? When he is being taught, he's right. He's not the angel of his presence.
that's looking about. Amen. He or she is writing. That's a good student. Who is that being a good student? A good student is one who follows his pastor. Always there for all his pastor's needs. That is a good student. Who is a good student? He's always, he or she is always in church. Ready to be taught. He's not an argumentator. Those of people are argumentators in the bodies of Christ. In the body of Christ, hallelujah. Not body. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Let's get into some things.
Even Paul himself will tell you he learned from Gamaliel, from the feet of Gamaliel. Amen.
Everybody must trace people to the land. They were the feet of Gamaliel. Then, when you find Paul teaching and he's reading the four gospels, you know, the four gospels are not written there. How do you know that? Yeah? When Paul was teaching in Acts of Apostles chapter 10, it was not written. Amen? But where was it? Was it available? It was available in as oral tradition, right? So the thoughts meet with it. We're going to see all that as progress in the teaching. The thoughts, the four gospels. So they have the stories of Jesus in their teaching. We're going to see all that. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to see all that. So, because the story of Jesus, which is the four gospels, the incarnation of God became man, will be part of what they taught in the scriptures. We're going to get there. Don't worry. Hallelujah. We'll see what I'm trying to explain. Hallelujah. But whenever you find Paul, read and talk about the four gospels, it shows that Paul to your story. Because Paul was not in, Paul wasn't in,
Paul wasn't in Israel. Well, he wasn't in Jerusalem. He wasn't in Israel as at the time of Jesus'
incarnation. Was not coming. That was why he wasn't mentioned. Amen. But he came back. He came back afterwards. And he was found. This is what has happened in Jerusalem. Amen. So he was found. Glory to God.
Hope you're following me. Uh-huh. I heard someone one time said, as at the time when Jesus was in the earth, Paul was not born. I said, no, it's not true. Don't see things like that. Hallelujah. Paul was born, but he was not around. Amen. Was not around. Just like somebody traveled. He was not around. When he came back, the people had already done Jesus' strong thing.
So he was now very serious, 19 increases. These are the new threats. Of the entire encounter with the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. So how do you know the things? Jesus told him all his story as a vision. It was false. Amen. Because that is the only way.
Hallelujah. So to make you say Paul didn't learn from the apostles will be wrong. He learned from the apostles too, who were eyewitness. Hallelujah. That was why he had the eyewitness account. So he heard them teach about or talk about the eyewitness account. So he learned a little bit of Gamaliel. Right? And then he heard the eyewitness accounts also. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus being God was taught. He was a good student. So that is how God has patterned it.
God has patterned the scripture that way, that you have to be taught the scriptures to understand. God has patterned it that way, you have to be taught the Bible to understand. I'm not sleeping. And the Lord gave me a verse. Not only verse, it's Vaseline.
The Lord gave me a verse in the sleep. It's Vaseline you received. Amen. You have to be taught. The Lord gave me a verse you've never read.
The Lord gave it to me. And now, without surprise, you read the verse. Oh my God. Without reading the verse you saw. The verse will now be your mark for destruction. I don't know. It's the next verse. Stop saying nonsense. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Lord gave me a verse. What is the verse? Maybe it's the verse Nandi when Satan was speaking. Now you'll not be looking for a way to manipulate God. Just stop nonsense. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So we said to be a good teacher, you must be a good student. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And a good student is one who is being taught. Hallelujah. Therefore, you can say also a good student, a quality of a good student is that he or she must be a good reader. A good reader. The quality of a good student is to be a good reader. I want to see that. Hallelujah. Ephesians quickly. Chapter number 3. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. Now, who will be the church at Ephesus? Are those going to be his students? Those are his students. Now, look at what he tells them. Listen to this. Ephesians 3, verse 4. Okay, I'll start from verses 2. Say, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, what? How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Whereby, when ye read, did you do that? Ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Say, when ye read. Watch that. When ye read. So that means the quality of a good student is that he or she is a good reader. When ye read. Hallelujah. That word read there is the word anaginosko. We're going to explore that shortly. Jesus also will question the Pharisees in how they read. He will question the Pharisees in how they read. Because they didn't read well. Probably following. They didn't read well. He will question them. In Matthew 19, verse 4, they brought Jesus a question. In Matthew 19, verse 4, from verse 3, they asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Is it lawful for a man to do the best for every cause? Look at what Jesus' response was. Now, we're going to see what Jesus' response was. Hallelujah. He said to them, have ye not read? Did you see that? That word read there is the word anaginosko. Anaginosko. You see, what I'm telling you now, I can't let you say this just now. What I'm telling you now, as believers, is something you need to take note of. You know, I told you in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says, you should not be ignorant of the body, the skin, the word, the wiles of the devil. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, because you know what God is doing here today, you know what Satan is doing. Amen. You know what God is doing in the church today. You know what is God doing here? God is raising strong local churches. Amen. Amen. Strong local churches where the things of God are taught. Where there is a mighty demonstration of God's Spirit. So what is Satan doing? Satan is dragging people out of local churches. That's what he's trying to do. On social media and advice. Well, he knows. He knows. That we are sufficient by association and deficient when we are alone. Amen. So the tries to be deficient. I'll say this, and I always say this to us, right from years back. I said, when Satan was to deal with a man, he takes the man out of the reach of his pastor. I put it now like this, out of the reach of the local church. He must be wise. Until he comes God angry. I don't like him because he's a woman, this is good. In fact, when God is everywhere. God is everywhere. I can find God everywhere and anywhere. That is the life of the devil. As in, when you begin to say things like that, you know that Satan is already giving you a chicken. You know they got chicken. He's already giving you chicken. He's already calling you. Satan is already calling you. You know that he's calling you. Amen. 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 So how do you become, how are you a good member of the local church?
you are always around for all the activities you're doing. And then you're always around the pastor's meetings. What do you want to see? The local church doesn't take away the Bible from your hand. The local church teaches you how to read your Bible. Oh, we are following. You have come out of your Bible. And now you taught to read your Bible. You're taught to read your Bible to follow how your pastor has read it to you. Don't try to read ahead of your pastor.
Amen.
Just as he has taught you to read. That's very simple. Stay within the boundaries of what you've been taught. Be a good member of the church.
I just would like to say that. Amen. Let's get back to what we're looking at. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead. So, we're looking at Matthew 19:4, right?
Jesus said, have you not read? First of all, let's even look at who are the Pharisees. First, the Pharisees are astute teachers of Moses. They are called astute. They teach the law of Moses.
Amen.
The
Pharisees. Hallelujah. You are the Pharisees that made me get here.
So the Pharisees are astute teachers
of Moses. Astute. Then in how they saw them.
You know, you today, they say, Pharisees are astute. But now that is something, they were astute. In fact, for you to be a Pharisee, a doctor of the law, you will know Moses' book by heart. That's why you are called disciple. Matitis. Matitis from another word, Matami. Matami is from the word Mat. Where you apply your brain, you give your mind to it.
Amen.
So, as a Pharisee, the first thing you are handed over is Moses' high book. Genesis is not the first number to John 8. You will cram it by heart. And if they call you, you will read everything that you must not miss one word. Those great facts.
Go away. Not today, you are reciting memory verse.
You will recite Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1. You know there was no verses. Now why it needs to now be complex. You know here you read verse 1, verse 2, the end of the platform, the end of the verse 3. These are the numbers you are reading to know it by heart. You know it by heart. You recite it, you already sleep, you recite the job of heaven. Those are the Pharisees.
So they were astute. They were the teachers of Moses. Amen. Yet, look at Jesus. Jesus said, have you not read? You know, that is like that's those. Yeah? You know, Jesus just gave them that's those. See? He says, verse 4, have you not read that? He that made them from the beginning made them male and female. So when they ask him, is this not good for a man to put away his wife for any cause? That is the theory.
Is that now the religion physical marriage? Is that no? What Jesus said is in the beginning he made them male and female. What is that? What are they saying? What did Jesus say? Jesus is saying no. You have to go back again and reread. That how God made man is male and female. So he said that you skipped Genesis in your reading. If you had skipped Genesis, I mean, if you didn't skip Genesis, you wouldn't come to the conclusion of shall a man put away his life because meaning you don't know what Moses is writing about. What are you going to do? God man gave the bill of the pastor. See, you don't know what God from the beginning, he said it was not so. So what is the beginning? Genesis. If you didn't read from the beginning, if you read from the beginning, you will discover that when you read that name after me, was referring to in the temple, what you have is man in Christ. Hallelujah. You find the name after me in Christ. Go back to Genesis. Let's do that. Look at verses 5.
Okay, family. And 95. For this cause shall a man put away father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Hallelujah. So, what God has joined together, let no man put away. What did God join together? Is he man and woman?
No. You see that? So, it's telling you from the beginning there is a marriage. There is a marriage. The marriage is what? Heaven and earth. The marriage is what? God and man. That is the marriage. Amen. It then shows that it's not God that puts away, it's man that puts away. In the marriage between man and God, who puts away? It's man and Adam. Yeah, so, what God, Lord, what Jesus does this. So, what has he done? He has thrown a span into their way. He said, you are reading from Deuteronomy.
Get back to Genesis. If we get back to Genesis, you will see what Moses is writing about. Amen. What are you following me?
So Jesus will use the word anaginosko. It says, have you not read? So he takes them back again to reread.
Hallelujah. How many follow me? Hallelujah. He points their attention back again to reread. Well, we'll look at some of this use of the word anaginosko as we continue. Maybe not today, but we'll get to look at them. You see how Jesus also used the word anaginosko in referring. In fact, Jesus used that word anaginosko many of times for the Pharisees.
Amen. So because they didn't read well, a bad reader will not can be a good teacher. A bad reader, permit me, is a bad teacher. Hope you are hearing me. The same way a bad follower can't be a good leader. Hope you are hearing me. A bad reader is a bad teacher.
For you, writer, look at what Jesus now said in chapter 15. Go back a bit to chapter 15. He has just warned them in chapter 15, verse 9. 19. I get, yeah. No? Matthew 15, verses. 9, yeah. Oh. Look at what he says to them. He says, he's referring to the Pharisees. Look at what he says. Now, he's addressing them. They are saying, they came saying that the disciples of Jesus did not wash their hands. So they were, and before they ate. Then Jesus said, why do you transgress verse 3? The commandment of God by your tradition. For God commanded, say, honor thy father. So Jesus began to talk. Look at what he said in verse 9. He said, but in vain they do worship me. He said, teaching the doctrines and the commandment of men. Did you see that? Did you see that? Teaching what? The doctrines and the commandment of men. That's what Jesus said to the Pharisees were teaching. The doctrines and the commandments of men, not of God.
So what were they teaching? Tradition. So they missed out. Something we're going to see when we get to teach Moses. Amen. A bit. I feel to do an intro, or just intro. Amen. Or a teaser class for Moses. Amen. You know, I've been wearing the name of that presentation for years. Amen. So when you get to see Moses, you discover that what they did was Moses gave them God's word, and then he then gave them traditions. Amen. Traditions, which is washing of feet and customs. Just that what is that stone? No, no, those things were to point to what he was saying, but they took it as customs. Do you get it? So Moses was, what Jesus is saying is that the one you were teaching is the commandments and traditions of men. You see that? Amen. Something we're going to see tomorrow. Amen. No, we get to teach it. I'm going to point out some of these things and get teaching tomorrow.
So I don't want to actually get into tomorrow's teaching today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you could now see that they
stayed more with the shadows of the fact of things. Shadows rather than what was being communicated. And that shadows is traditions of
them. They stayed with it. Washing of hands. But the washing of hands was to show a new beginning.
Did you see that?
Hallelujah. So they didn't read well. So Jesus questioned their reading or truth. Did you see how they turned out? They taught the doctrines of men. Did you see that? Amen. They didn't turn out good.
Hallelujah. Therefore, we say there are different kinds of reading. Hope I'm able to get to the end. There are different kinds of reading. I added a new kind of reading there. We have what we call
headline reading. How are we saying headline reading? Headline reading. Or I put it table of contents. Types of reading. You have headline reading. And the people that just pick up newspaper, all they just read is headline. Boom! And automatically they form an opinion.
They didn't get to detail. Just read the headline. Just read one caption. Amen. Just read one caption. So it is Jubri that is on the throne. It's only Jubri. Is it Saka?
You have one headline, bam! They didn't read it. Just say, Chelsea is not cowboy club. It's not only cowboy. It's cowbell.
He's talking about us. He just saw headline. Maybe one headline, you'll see. You know him as Tim Bastard, that's it. Apostle Tim Bastard. You didn't read anything. You didn't read, you say, Pastor used it to crack that, he crack a joke that his apostle just said, now go on Facebook, see me or so and so is not an apostle in the marketplace. How did you get that? You only read what? You only read what? Hey, don't go like that. Don't you think of books? You just go through the table of content and try and know everything here. But your pride not kill you. Not here. Just carry book. You didn't know it. You didn't read anything. Just table of content. The hidden reality is I know it. You know what? It's not only no. Amen. Amen. You don't do that. Amen. That is a very wrong way to read. You don't read. Some people just look at the book at the cover. Say, demand the message, demand to. Or demand the message, demand it. I knew it. This pastor is going to talk about the man, the message, and the mandate. What is in your head?
Yes. Amen. It's a wrong way. Hallelujah. Amen. So, yeah, this kind of reading, you feel you know what is written inside without reading it. You just see headline. Amen. You just see headline. Bah! Say, yeah! How many of you read your school book that way? Let's get to the topic. Bah! Electron. Say, I know electron. Electrons is E-L-E-T-R-O-N. Electron.
I don't need to read. Electrons. The divine electron. I remember one day like that. If you okay, is there any medical student here or an intended medical student? Okay. There's what they call third MBS. Eh? Third MBS. Some of the hardest MBS you're going to write when you are in the medical school. Because after that, that's when you read, that's when you have to do anatomy and some other courses. After which you can now, from your fourth year, you begin to look at your specialization. So the third MBS is usually a combination of 2 years. From your second year, you won't attend an exam to your third year. I guess, I mean, from your second year to your third, it's like 2 years joined together. About 18 to 22 months. So if you fail third MBS, you are going to spend extra. Did you see how long you're going to stay? So you now go to the exam. So if you now get A, if you now score distinction, you now go and defend your distinction.
One of my roommates there said, I'm not looking for it, let me just fast.
You know, I have another roommate.
His name is Dr. Hillary now. So he read very well. He read very well. That guy is, I heard that he's actually a senior consultant now, and it's good because he actually showed that right from school days. So read so well that he now passed, he now got distinction, he now went to go and do defense of distinction in anatomy. He got like 3 distinctions, so he had to go and defend them. So as just entered, he has entered. And the people that you defend it for are external invigilators, not even one from your school. So he has been reading. I knew when he was reading. He died, he would read, he would go to class, he would come back, his head was hot. He now went there, now asked him, what is bone? He was looking at the invigilator. Define bone. Look at the invigilator, the invigilator looking at him, he couldn't say one word. So he came back. He said, and I saw it too. But I just looked, when I looked at it, I just said, I beg, I know it. I mean it. Did you see? Did you get it? You just said they had in bones. I beg, there was nobody who happened to be asking me bones. Do you get it? Some people are like that. You just see them, I know it, John. And now ask you, what is bones? You don't hear it, is it? No, I hear bones. It's not bones. It's not bones. It's defined bone. So he was looking at them and they were looking at him. He said at that point, he began to think of what he said. His head was opening the book, but he got to where there was bone, but he couldn't open it because he didn't read it. He didn't read it. There's no way of doing it. Just like an accountant being asked, what is trial balance? Because he didn't read it, he said, it's not trial balance, I know it. But it's a trial of balances. You will pass on the back. Yeah. But you actually try and balance this. That's nonsense, you said.
That's nonsense, you said. So sometimes it's just your pride to throw you away. Don't be the pride.
Okay, you're right. The next kind of reading is called glance reading. You know what's glance reading? Just glance through. You can actually place this under headline reading, but headline reading, my focus is just reading the topic and not going in. But some people do that a lot, especially how people, some people read newspaper, they just glance. Some people just carry newspaper, they are going to page 11, matches this week, like they don't have a phone to check. Now, wow, that is how Arsenal lost the title. Do you see, I just look at it, Arsenal lose those. Chelsea wants to buy Willian again. They didn't read anything, no. They just saw Willian on Chelsea jersey. Glance reading. Now, wow. Wisdom is coming out for APC.
Did you see all that? No! Definitely reading. You are just glancing. Is that how you read your books like that? That's how you read your books like that. They are just reading.
Like, okay, maybe I read that. I now saw Kubi standing near one brick. He said, you didn't read that. That brick's war was, he took it in 2014. When they say had that kind of war inside the base, officers could have said, man of God has gone to UK.
Class reading. That is class reading.
Amen. You didn't read anything. He just glanced through. Amen? Or you see Ketuku standing here? Just standing here, Prado. Say, ministry is good, oh. Yeah? Yeah, the ministry is good, oh. Can you dance it? No, really. That is wrong. That is a wrong kind of reading. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Some people have biased reading.
Biased reading. When you read with a mindset, when you have formed an opinion, so you are just reading to back up your opinion. How about you? You have an opinion and you are reading to back up your opinion. It's a bad kind of opinion. It's called biased reading. Some people read their Bible that way. I want to prove.
What are you proving? No. Hallelujah. In Bible study, you don't read to prove a point. No. Hallelujah. How about you hear me? Either you get to your Bible and you want to prove a point, close your Bible. You're not ready to read. You don't read your Bible that way. How about you hear me? Don't read your Bible to prove a point.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Just to show, I want to show this. Some people also read with the wrong mindset. Even reading because you want to. Okay, some people read to look for AOC. You know what they call AOC? Area of concentration. Well, I call it from Pastor Shego, area of confusion. Yes. If you are going to the kind of school I went to, whenever they give you AOC, go and look for what was not in the AOC for it.
You don't know, even if it happened when I was doing my master. You see, we will go to school and sit in lectures. I will go and sit in front and collecting notes. The first letter, collecting notes. Some people were sitting at the back. A day later, they now gave out AOC. Me, I finished the book. I have finished the book. Come on, come on. How do you know AOC? What's the AOC presentation? What's the AOC presentation?
You don't have to do AOC.
No,
you don't. You don't have AOC. Because there's no some people serve and we're not working. You know, your server is not working. Your AOC, you got this 3. Without you answer any 3, you now answer 6. Your server is off. I'm not happy. Your server is off. Anyway, you know what you got. Anyway, I said something, and I'm saying it again. Okay, somebody said I shouldn't do that kind of boost anymore, but I can say it anyway. I just said it to you. You said, nobody can come out with anything in any exam. You sat down and I was talking to you. Oh, I'm not saying anything. I will read, I'll get prepared for the exam. I will get prepared for the exam. Amen. I'd rather not write the exam than to go and write the exam with blockhead. Hallelujah. I'm starting about that one. I'm starting about it very well. The Saba 1, Saba 2. No, it's Saba 1. Somebody was not afraid. You just got the woman was there and she said, we were going to sit in the Zara and say,
smart, you are Saba 1. I look at that. Hey, I'm here in Saba 1. You know it's
Saba 1. It's DST. What nonsense. Amen. Amen.
They're looking for AOC. Well, normally verse is already AOC for you. Verses are already AOC for you.
But I've taught you, you don't read by verses. Anyway. AOC. What is AOC? You are looking for the key points. You know people that read key points never get A.
Hope you know that. If you read key points, you can never get A. It's not a show. They must have a key point. Yes, it's key point. I don't want that writing wire.
Some people talk key points and put in their stockings. And none of them got in. None of them see.
See?
That's the highest you can get. See? Maybe by mistake, if you had brain, if you had brain to your key point, B3. Okay, if you had brain to your key point, B3, you get. Yes, but I thought key point. Didn't you hear the name? Key point. You say, sir. You know, it's just that the people you are teaching them, say, sir, what is the answer? Sir, all this wrong teaching. CRC on Saturday morning, you just talking. Sir, just go straight to the point. Your brain is wired to key points. Yes, nobody at this key point gets A. I can say it anyway. Because when you go to the exam hall, they tell you, explain. Key point to give you points. And when they tell you, list and explain. Key point to only list.
You cannot explain. Because if it is key point, they can't be explanation.
Surely I'm getting it.
You will skip one. So the dumb people will just like, I said this, I keep one. They say, list and explain. How are we keep one in sentence? You are supposed to list it. Then not start explaining.
So when somebody that didn't use key point now has to extra sheet, that's a fico. It's not she or she's not a fico. He read, he or she read well. What they go to the last kind of reading?
Holistic reading. When you read everything, not key points. Yeah. I told someone I led her to Mark Wyatt when I was in SS1. Mark Wyatt mathematics. That was SS1. But when I got to example,
I had promised my teacher that I was going to get A. Now you don't know my teacher. If you are in Ever Secondary School, my math teacher, my beloved math teacher was Mr. Martins. That's how I loved the man. So before Wayek, he told me,
what score, what am I going to give him? I said, I'm going to give him A, sir. I told him he's going to give A. But I got so confident in that man. I felt so confident.
When I got to the exam hall, I met what I couldn't, what I cannot explain. Because I became a teacher of the good news. I began to teach.
It's wrong, guys. I began to teach. I taught my name. My name was sleeping. I was sleeping in maths exam. Because it exposed, you know what? It changed. If I be here, 2006 report. We are with Wyatt that year. We're supposed to start our Wyatt mass in the morning around 8, started by 11. Because the thing leaked. Baba mass will also be solved. The people can't be solved. We were going there now from the mass report of destruction. And Wyatt changed it that morning. So everybody has an entire example. In my head, I was like, bad as it can be, I'm sitting with a science student. Everything will work. Science student was now shouting, damn it! He did not come to find money. I looked at him, Pedro, hope you are fine. Pedro, what happened? The guy kept his head up and was this is number one answer. Like
amen.
Amen. And it was like I was writing poverty. And I said, stop it. Right here. Leave here. Right here. I was not teaching you how to copy.
Because the way I wrote my maths, I didn't write maths anyhow. I write things step by. I followed all the steps. Because I know all the steps that they were. So I was skipping the steps for him. Now that I too, if I'm getting A or I'm getting anything and I'm bragging, you cannot brag too. At least you let my people go.
Amen.
Glory to God.
So you have to read holistic. That's why I went there. You must read holistic. Read everything. That's holistic reading. You read everything. You don't skip the details. Holistic reading. You read everything. You don't skip the details. Look at everything again and again. Everything again. There are the use of the word anaginosko. Ana there means to read again. So when you use that word to read again, it means to read everything. Don't skip, don't miss details. You know that? Don't miss details. And that was what the Pharisees did that were wrong. That was wrong. They missed details. Simple matter, simple details, they missed it. Amen. Look at what Jesus said to them. In John chapter 5 verse 39, he said to them, you search the scriptures for them, you think you have eternal life. Just that, they use the word they search is the word anakrino. How you search, you investigate like an auditor. Have you seen an auditor before? How they search. So then, you guys search well, but you didn't search, your conclusion was wrong. Just that, you miss the vital details. The conclusion of scriptures is about me. Isn't that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, when Jesus asks you, tells you, have you not read? It means, okay, you don't read at all. Hallelujah. So when Jesus says, have you not read, it means you have to read it again. Yeah, there's a read it. So look at what Jesus said
in that Matthew 19.
So when he says, "He that made them at the beginning,"
when he says, "He that made them at the beginning," or have you not read that which? Look at that Matthew 19. Sorry, he says, "Have you not read that which made them at the beginning?" When he used the word "beginning" there, hallelujah, it means from the Genesis. So he's telling them, you don't skip details from the beginning. You don't skip details. We're going to read some of these verses, some of these scriptures next week. Matthew 12, verses 3 and 5. You don't skip the details. This is for skipping details. You don't skip the details. Matthew 21, verse 16. Matthew 22, verse 31. So therefore, the believer must pay attention the most to detail and read from the beginning. How many of you get to your textbook and you are reading from chapter 9? You skip chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You read to chapter 9 and 10 and 15. Say that this lecturer is not good. He doesn't know anything. So let's start with chapter 10. You don't do that. You read everything. No. Except you went to a grammar school. Oh, sorry. Except you went to a school near airport. And then you'll be skipping details. Did I call anybody's name? Yeah? I said school near airport. Hallelujah. Yeah. And I have a reason for that. Because every time they are teaching, you are looking at the plane. Hallelujah. Amen. Therefore, a good teacher is first a good student, and a good student is a good listener, or put, a good reader. Hope you're following me. A good student is a good reader. I guess I can't get here today. So let's just conclude on this quickly. Let's look at this quickly as we conclude. Amen. So when Jesus says in Matthew 28, make disciples teaching them, does that mean the teaching, I will first of all be a good student, right? And I must be a good listener. We're going to deal with that listening. Some people don't know how to listen. We're going to deal with that. And I must be a good listener. I must be a good listener. And I must be a good reader. Be a good leader. Because you see, what Jesus has committed to our church is the word of God. What Jesus has committed to our trust. What has committed to our trust is so much, so delicate and so very special to him that you can't and we can't afford to treat it anyhow. And that's the reason for this teaching. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the reason for this teaching. Listen, very, very, very vital. The reason for this teaching. Hallelujah. Because of something that's committed things to our trust. So when he says teaching them, remember that is that act of listening. So we'll look at all that next week. Hallelujah. Learn something today? You learn something today?